Just give me a moment. Thank you.
Well, take two. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. If you're listening to this, I trust that you are well and that God is richly blessing you. I read a portion of scripture, and I'll read that portion again in John 11, verse 38, where Jesus was deeply moved, and it's a story where he came to the tomb of Lazarus, and all the mourners were there, and he said, "Roll away the stone." And he was reminded that by that time there was a bad odour because Lazarus had been gone for 4 days. And the purpose of reading that portion of scripture was to say that Lazarus has been raised from the dead, but he died again because he was a natural man. When Jesus rose from the dead, he's alive because he is eternal. And that we have that same hope of that eternal resting place. That's why we can share in our suffering. We can share in the revelation that God has given us. And one of the things I said a few moments ago was that we will have suffering, but be of good cheer. Jesus says, "I've overcome. And if I've overcome, then you will overcome. That makes you a conqueror." No, it makes you more than a conqueror. So this day we can truly celebrate what Christ has done for us, because salvation is a hope that we have, an eternal perspective. We can live it now, yes. We can experience it now, yes. But we can also hope for that future, a day of a resurrected body. So I want to bring one or two scriptures just to remind us of what today is all about and why we have that hope and who we put our hope in. And when you start to look through the Gospels, the good news about Jesus Christ, that's what the Gospels is. It gives you an account of this day, the account of this resurrection day. And I want to read some scripture to us, just to remind us afresh, because we are Christians, followers of Christ. In Luke, his account, Luke 24, verse 1, it says this: "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices that they had prepared," and they were going to anoint Jesus, "and went to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes gleamed like light stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down to their faces, with their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not there. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee?'" I want to pause there. I've just highlighted that one phrase there that says, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead?" And although we're familiar with this story, we can take this small portion, I hope, and apply it to our lives and be reminded today that God wants us to look for life where there is life, not look for life where there is death. And there are things in my life, and I'm sure things in your life, that have died or they've been cut off. Then we need to leave them where they are and move forward in the promises that God has given us. There are things in this last year, I'm sure, that you are glad that they've gone. And we don't need to look back at them. We can look forward at what God has for us. And for me, when I speak to us as a church, it is as if we had a meeting last week. I'm sure for you, there's friends and family members that if you don't see them from 1 year to the next, when you do meet again, it's as if you only met last week because you have such a strong relationship. Well, Jesus said, the angel said, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead?" So for us, we can perhaps just ponder on those few words as we look forward to what God has for us, as we pray the plans and purposes that God has for us into fruition, as we consider what God has said and that what he will do. "The Son of Man must be delivered and handed over into the hands of sinful men to be crucified, on the third day be raised again." I want to continue in in the Gospel of Matthew. Just want to look at Matthew 28. It says this: after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. In Mark 16, verse 3, it says this: they asked each other, who will roll the stone away? So they're going to, on this journey. All the Gospels record it. They're on the way, and they're wondering, who will roll away the stone from the tomb? And that got me thinking. When you think about this gospel story, when you think about the miracle of the death and resurrection of Jesus, surely one of the things wouldn't be, well, who's going to roll the stone away? The reason I'm saying this is because I've been in church for a few years now, and I've listened to many people preach about the resurrection of Christ, and there are many times that people are not saying, well, how did Jesus raise from the dead? They're saying, well, how could that heavy stone be rolled away? And sometimes we can be preoccupied with the insignificant and we miss the significant. We can be preoccupied with the who's going to roll the big heavy stone away, and we miss the fact that Jesus has been risen from the dead and he's no longer there. He's going to be ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. As Christians, I think we can also at times, if we're not careful, miss the significant because we're concentrating on the insignificant. And these women were saying, who's going to roll the stone away? But also walking in faith, realizing that their needs will be provided when they get there, because they'd made it a determined decision in their hearts to go to the tomb. It says this: it was very large, and the stone had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side. They were alarmed. I think I would be too. Do not be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And when you look at this account, this story, Jesus has already told them what was going to happen. Can you remember the story of the disciples praying for Peter while he was in prison? And they were praying earnestly, it says, for him to be released. Do you remember that? And then there was a knock at the door, and they didn't believe that was him. They'd been praying for something. They received what they'd been praying for, but didn't believe what it was that they were seeing. Well, here we have the disciples of Jesus was already told beforehand. Remember, they'd walked with him. They'd talked with him. They'd seen him at his best, and they'd seen society at its worst. They'd seen the miraculous. Jesus said, I'm telling you this beforehand, that I will be handed over to the authorities. I will be scourged. I will be hung on a tree. But be of good cheer. On the third day I will rise again. Yet they lived their life as if he was still dead. Because the account here of the women going to anoint him with spices surely was they believed that his body would be there. And they were amazed and astonished when it wasn't. How many times for us in our Christian life, and this is just a reflection upon myself, and maybe you've been there before, where God has told you beforehand what's going to happen. Scripture tells us how to live. Scripture tells us how to receive from God. Scripture tells us that we are going from glory to glory. Scripture tells us that we should be of good cheer. Scripture says, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, but sin has been swallowed up by victory. The victory is the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. God has already told us how to live victorious, but I'm sure if you're like me, there's times where you don't see that. You don't see the victory, you just see the journey that you're on. Well, be of good cheer, church. He has overcome. Victory has been swallowed, has been given us, and death has been swallowed up. And just as these disciples were on a journey, just as the women that are talking about and represented here, who wanted to go and anoint Jesus, wanted to go and be a blessing, was on a journey, so we are on that journey. But be of good cheer, God has already given us the answer. The answer is Christ. He's already given us everything that we need. So we can be reminded today that when we look through Scripture, God's already given us the answer. Read Revelation, he tells you the end of the book. In John 20, verse 11, "Now Mary stood beside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She saw the angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus." I think we've already read this portion today. "He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned towards him and cried out, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus says, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended. But go and tell my disciples.'" As Emma has already said, God knows our name. It's a personal salvation, isn't it? That's why salvation is something that you have to receive and I have to receive personally for myself. But there again, you have a journey where Mary started off not really realizing that Jesus wasn't going to be there, because she expected him to be there, even though she'd been told that he was going to be risen. And when she heard her voice called, that's the moment that faith came into her heart. That's the moment that salvation came to live on the inside. And it's the same for me and you. It's personal, as we heard earlier this morning. That there's times where we maybe don't believe what God has said. Did God really say that he would bless me? Did God really say that I won't have more than I can bear? Why do I feel that I can't bear this? Did God really say that I have an eternal resting place with him? Yes, he did. And he encourages us by calling us by name. So when you accepted Jesus as Saviour and Lord, when I accepted Jesus as Saviour and Lord, it's because he called my name. It's because he pointed directly at me and convicted me of my sin. That's why this is a personal journey for each and every one of us. It's a personal victory for each and every one of us. It's a personal salvation for each and every one of us. But God doesn't just speak to one. He speaks to us all. As we continue to look through Scripture in Luke 24, verse 10, "It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense." So there's times where I've missed these portions of Scripture, because Jesus has said beforehand, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be accused. I'm going to be killed. But I'm going to rise again. They witnessed the execution of Christ. They saw the blood dripping down his body. They saw how it was broken. They surely must have remembered when he said, "This bread is my body broken for you. This juice, this drink, this wine is my blood shed for you." Suddenly seeing this in front of them, they must have realized those words. And yet when it came to this part, they thought that it was nonsense. For us, it's not nonsense, is it? Jesus says, "Blessed are those that have seen me and believe, but blessed are those that haven't seen me but believe." See, we haven't seen the physical risen Christ, but we have experienced him, haven't we? He lives in us. That's why today is a day that we can celebrate. Today is a day that we can mark in history and say, today is a victorious day. Because he lives, we also live. Because he triumphed over adversity, we can triumph over adversity. Because he suffered, when we suffer, we will be victorious. Why? Because he is victorious. He goes before us to prepare a way, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's the good news of the gospel, isn't it? In accordance with the riches of God's grace, undeserved favor that he lavished on us, with all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Christ is the great unifier, in other words. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And then it goes on in verse 13 to bring the rest of us in. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So remember, there's times where the disciples were told beforehand what would happen, but they struggled at times. We have been told that we've been marked with the promised seal of the Holy Spirit. That means that God dwells within us. In verse 14, and he is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. That's the glorious truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we as Christians, we celebrate what God has done for us. In Ephesians 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption through the blood. In Ephesians 19, talks about a great power that is for us who believe. That power, and we've been talking about the power to be able to stand and stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist. We've been empowered for such a time as this. Yes, we go through pain. Yes, we go through suffering. Yes, we lose loved ones. Yes, we have a painful existence sometimes, but praise be to God. Give him the glory, because through Christ, it's all been overcome. He's given us the power to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not to stay there, but to walk through it. It says this: that power is for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head of everything for the church, which is his body, you and I, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is good news, isn't it? Yeah. This is good news. I want to leave us with this one last portion of scripture for me and for you to understand the fullness that God has given us. Because he lives, we also live. Because he is victorious, we are also victorious. Because he suffered, we will also suffer. But because he walked, we can walk. In John 3 verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. This is talking about the death of Christ. He must be lifted up on that tree. Verse 15, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. That's every one of us here. Everyone that's hearing the message of the gospel of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's everyone that would turn and change and receive. That's everyone who believes this message. So if there's anyone listening to us on this recording and you don't acknowledge Christ as Savior and Lord, this everyone includes you. This eternal life that we celebrate today can include you. In verse 16, and this tells us why. For God so loved the world. One of the most read out portions of scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's for you and me. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But it goes on to say, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned. Let's put that right today for those that are in the room, those that are listening, and those that we will have the opportunity to share this message with in the coming days. Father, we thank you that you are a risen God. We thank you, Lord, that we can put our trust in you. We thank you, Jesus, that you didn't stay in the tomb, but you rose again, and that you have ascended to the right hand of the Father, interceding for me and humanity. We thank you, Father, that by your blood we've been forgiven. By your blood we've been saved. Salvation is ours. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a message to share by word and deed. You've given a message, Father God, of reconciliation, a message that you've come to bring not condemnation, but salvation. But Father God, we pray now that you would bring conviction upon the earth, Lord, and people would turn not because of condemnation, but because of grace and because of your goodness. Father, we bring our families, our friends, our associates, our neighbours. We bring our enemies to you, Father God, and we ask that you would pour out resurrection power into their lives this season. We pray, Father God, that the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. We pray, Father God, that this message of comfort and reconciliation would reverberate around the world. We pray, Father God, that the lost will be found, that the lonely will find comfort, that the grieving will be blessed. We pray, Father God, that your word of truth would go out. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.